First case we have today is 18-1055, United States v. Rubio Sepulveda. Would counsel please make their appearance?
Ann Talaferro for Mr. Sepulveda.
Good morning, Your Honors. Michael Johnson for the United States.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Ann Talaferro, and I represent Mr. Sepulveda in this matter. I come before the court today urging the court to remand for resentencing for three main reasons. First, we've alleged that the district court abused its discretion and refused to continue a sentencing hearing in this matter. Second, we've indicated that the district court procedurally erred for applying the organizer leader enhancement as opposed to the manager enhancement that was requested by trial counsel. And third, we've indicated that the ultimate sentence of 235 months is substantively unreasonable. With the court's permission, I would like to focus the discussion today on the organizer leader adjustment, and then, of course, the court can ask any questions that it desires. Initially, as I indicated, we've indicated that the district court procedurally erred by applying the four-level adjustment for organizer leader under United States Sentencing Guideline 3B1.1 subsection A. Trial counsel had asked for just a manager supervisor enhancement under subsection B. If the three levels is applied, the guideline range would have been 168 to 210 months, rendering the 235 sentence ultimately that was imposed 2 years too much, basically. So 3B1.1 provides for enhancements, as the court knows, for aggravating roles. Under subsection A, four levels is given for organizer leaders. Under subsection B, three levels is given for managers or supervisors, but not organizers leaders. And to apply this adjustment, as the court also knows, the government has the preponderance of the evidence, burden of proof. And relevant here, there are several factors that distinguish the two roles.
Well, the court made a pretty good evaluation and concluded he was a leader.
Well, and I would disagree.
Well, it's a finding of fact.
It is a finding of fact.
What is our standard of review?
The standard of review is for... it's an abuse of discretion, but the findings of fact are reviewed for clear error. And this court looks at the facts that the court found to determine whether or not they rose to the level of finding organizer or leader. And I would indicate
that... ran the whole deal. He was the dispatcher. He was telling them where to go. He was telling them who to give the money to, where to give the drugs to. What more do you need to be a leader?
I would indicate that being a dispatcher... In this drug conspiracy was not an organizer or leader role. An organizer or leader role has to have decision-making authority. The dispatcher role here, I would describe more of, I don't want to say like a receptionist, but they were coordinating the communications. They were coordinating the runners, but they didn't have the decision-making authority.
Well, he was making all sorts of decisions.
Well,
on who should take what where and get what from whom and everything else. I think the court made a finding of fact, and unless you can show it's clear error, I don't know what we can do about it.
The findings of facts that the court made was that he was knowingly involved in this really big conspiracy for about a five-month period. That, as the court indicated, he stepped in as a dispatcher when another dispatcher left. I would indicate for the court that this other dispatcher, co-defendant Castro Cruz, who was also described as a dispatcher, was only given a two-level enhancement under this role. This aggravating role. Another dispatcher, Espinoza Romero, was also described as a dispatcher and was only given a two-level enhancement for his role.
We've got to decide the facts of this case, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
I mean, I don't think you get too far with that kind of argument. We'll talk about the fact. The question really is not, is it whether he had decision-making authority of any sort, because there was a manager-supervisor enhancement that would have
Correct.
Been, that could have been applied to him, and a manager-supervisor has some decision-making authority. The question is just whether he has the level that would warrant the organizer leader, right?
Correct. I agree. The court found that he supplied street-level dealers with controlled substances, but the case law indicates being a supplier doesn't warrant the four-level enhancement. Yes, he coordinated runners with regard to the dispatcher, and he also himself did the drugs. The court also did not find that he resided at the stash house. And while these findings show that, yes, he was deeply involved and maybe integral to this conspiracy, that is not enough. Being the engine, being integral, being an important figure does not warrant the four
level.
Well,
so he's got to wear a tie and a suit to the office? Is that is that what we have to do to be a leader?
No, no, Your Honor, but I believe that he did not exercise any more decision-making authority than anybody else.
Well, he set prices.
I don't believe that the evidence shows that he actually set the prices. He may have relayed the prices, but I don't know that there was evidence presented that he set the prices. He collected the payments.
He arranged for deliveries. He sent runners out, ordered them to go out and pick stuff up and bring it back.
I don't know if he ordered anybody to do anything. He was
You're just a guy that wandered by.
No. He was absolutely involved in this. But his role as dispatcher was to kind of organize the communications. But that doesn't mean that was just his job in this conspiracy. That doesn't mean that he set the prices. That doesn't mean that he did anything else more than really anybody else did. There was no evidence that he individually set prices. There was no evidence that he recruited accomplices. There's no evidence that he restricted the street-level dealers to who they could then sell to.
Did he have face-to-face contact with these people in these transactions?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Have face-to-face contact with these people in these transactions? I'm trying to recall.
I believe
when you say dispatcher, did that mean he was dispatching others to make the sales, or does that mean that he made some of these himself?
I believe it was both.
Okay.
There were some times where the runners were not available, and so he would then go and he would do the sales himself.
But in the situation as it relates to the runners, was there a sense in this that he had disciplinary authority relative to the runners?
I don't believe there's any evidence of that. I just believe that his role was to coordinate the runners and have them meet up with the people who were buying the drugs. There's no evidence that he had a larger share of the profit than anybody else. And there's no evidence that he is the one that planned and organized this huge conspiracy. Absolutely, he was integral to it. Absolutely, he played a role. And that is why...
Well, do you deny he set the terms of payment?
The court found that. The court did find that.
Prices?
I don't believe that... There's evidence of that, however. He may have relayed the prices. He may have negotiated. I honestly don't believe that there was evidence that he is the one that set the prices. He may have gotten that from somebody else. He may have said, this is what we're going to sell it for. But I don't think that it was his... I don't believe that there was evidence that it was his decision at what price we were going to set the sale for.
Do you know what the basis was in the record for the court to make that finding? Which is not to say it's an adequate basis, but do you know what it is that the court relied upon in making that finding? Because, I mean, this is a pretty important point, and so it's not a question of what you believe or what the court believes. It's a question of what the evidence shows.
So at the sentencing, the court court relied a lot upon prior hearings. There had been an evidentiary hearing, and I believe that there was a Franks hearing. The court relied a lot on prior hearings to make the findings. At the specific evidentiary hearing or sentencing hearing, the court did not take evidence as to this matter. And quite frankly, at the sentencing hearing, the government didn't necessarily argue this role. And I will also point out that in the government's sentencing memo to the court, even though they argued the four-level enhancement at sentencing, in their written motions and to the court, they said he was a supervisor manager. So I know that the court made the finding. I don't believe that there was any evidence actually at the sentencing hearing that would support that. And then the court relied on previous hearings. And to be honest, the court didn't necessarily say where she got that information from. She just made that finding.
What did the PSR recommend organizer leader?
The PSR did recommend organizer leader.
Did the PSR, in making that recommendation, reference any facts that it believes supported it?
I don't believe that the PSR, the PSR, like the court, like the government, now and then, support this enhancement because he was a dispatcher, because they use the word organized. He organized the runners. He organized, you know, people going from here to and here. I don't know if the PSR indicated, and I don't remember, I'll have to go back and look, whether or not he set prices.
And does the guidelines illumine the question of whether organizer refers to organizer of the larger criminal organization, or does it relate to the particular activities of a small group of people? Because a supervisor, to some extent, is an organizer too. You know, Joe Blow, go do, you know, even if they don't have disciplinary authority over Joe Blow, they tell them, you know, you've got to move this thing this way. That's at some level organization. But the
Correct.
Question is, what is it that ratchets that up to the level that would require the highest enhancement? So is it organization of the overall enterprise that we're talking about?
The application, I believe you only have to, quite frankly, be a leader or organizer or lead or direct one person. But it has to be an overall organization of five or more people. That obviously happened here. So this conspiracy involved five or more people. I don't know, and I don't believe, although I never argued it and nobody ever argued it before, that he actually directly, you know, supervised more than one person. But I think where the organizer leader enhancement comes in is the ultimate decision-making authority over the entire conspiracy.
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
Right.
And I'm asking you, is there any hook in the guidelines itself that you're aware of, commentary or otherwise, that makes that distinction? Because organization, as I'm alluding to, you could be a manager, supervisor at that level, was engaged in at least some rudimentary level of organization too. So
the commentary to the guidelines distinguish a leadership and organization role from mere management supervision. And it just lists a number of factors, and the factors include the exercise of decision-making authority, the recruitment of accomplices, the claimed right to a larger share of the fruits of the crime, the degree of participation in planning or organizing the offense.
Organizing the offense.
Right.
And the offense in that, and degree being the operative word, I guess, and so in offense, and so the offense being the overall criminal conspiracy. Presumably.
That is what I would argue, Your Honor.
Oh, okay. All right.
And the degree of control and authority exercised over others. And while, yes, the dispatcher role in this case, you know, you're telling people where to go. But again, having control and authority, I believe, is different than just telling people, hey, the deal's going to go down here at 5 o'clock. You know, they weren't threatened by him. They weren't reporting to him. They didn't necessarily work for him. He didn't necessarily set the prices. I see that I have 50 seconds left, and so if I could reserve that, the rest of that, Your Honors. Thank you.
You may.
Thank you.
May it please the court, counsel. Michael Johnson for the United States. The government will focus on the organizer-leader issue this morning, as that is the focus of appellant's argument. We submit that the district court did not commit clear error in finding as a factual matter that Mr. Rubio Sepulveda was an organizer or leader under the guidelines.
Mr. Johnson, where in the record does it indicate that the defendant set prices? And at least my recollection of your brief is you referenced a passage which talked about him communicating prices. And I take it you would agree there's a difference between communicating a price set by someone else and setting the price. So where in the record does it show that he set the price?
I'm not aware of anything in the record that says that he in fact set the price. In the plea agreement that he signed with the government, he did admit that he directly communicated with his customers as to drug quantities, prices, and payments. And we indicated in our answer brief that there is case law from this court, the Chandler decision in particular, where the court said that when an organizer or leader distributing drugs to lower level dealers for the drugs to be sold on the street, that the organizer or leader who is distributing these drugs to the lower level dealers, the court can presume that the organizer or leader would possibly set prices, define territories, and set commissions, and that indeed the court in Chandler said that an individual dealing with lower-level dealers in these circumstances would have to assert some control over the lower-level dealers in order to confirm that the drug sales would be returned back to the organizer or leader.
Yes, but in that description that you gave of Chandler, it presumed that the individual who was distributing the drugs to the people who were going to make the actual distributions, the lower-level dealers, was actually the organizer leader. In other words, it had embedded in it the notion that that was the top guy. I mean, in this scenario, it is not the top guy, right? He is not the top guy. It's one thing if the top guy is distributing drugs to lower-level dealers. I think one can presume that he's not going to just say, go forth and, you know, sell it for what you can get and bring it back. He's going to set the prices. But if the person is not the top guy, then that I don't think that assumption necessarily follows at all. I mean, and he is not the top guy, right, in this organization.
There's nothing in the record showing that he was the head of the entire 23-person conspiracy. But Mr. Rubio Sepulveda did assert control over the lower-level dealers, and the record supports this. The lower-level dealers would ask him from time to time to provide more drugs to them so that they could sell additional drugs on the street, and he controlled the supply of drugs that they would be able to sell on the street. He controlled the supply.
But in terms of the guidelines commentary, it becomes a matter of degree, right? I mean, a manager supervisor is going to exercise at least some rudimentary level of control over the people that they're managing and supervising, right?
That's exactly right, Your Honor. It is a matter of degree. But we identified five factors that the district court reasonably could rely on to determine that Mr. Rubio Sepulveda was an organizer leader. First, he had others selling heroin and cocaine for him. He dealt extensively with lower-level dealers on a daily basis for months and months. He served as a coordinator and dispatcher for the conspiracy during that period of time. He was the person who answered the source phone. He was the person who was the main individual that the others communicated with. And as we just discussed, there is evidence in the record to suggest that he set drug quantities, prices, and payments.
That he communicated drug quantities, prices, and payments.
Well, he admitted that, but the evidence also suggests that he, in fact, did set those drug prices, quantities, and payments. He had to assert some control of the lower-level dealers, or else the conspiracy would not succeed. He directed another factor that we pointed out in our brief.
He directed another person in the conspiracy to write fictional letters of employment for individuals in the conspiracy in order that they could obtain places to live or they could purchase cars.
And is there any idea whether that was his idea or whether it was somebody else's idea?
There's nothing in the record to show if it was or if it was his idea or not.
And to your first point, others selling drugs for him, again, that implies that he was the person who was at the top of this organization. I mean, being a coordinator and being a dispatcher doesn't mean they're selling drugs for you. It means that they're selling drugs because you are in carrying out the instructions of somebody else. So that doesn't necessarily follow, does it?
It's a factor, though, and of the given all of the evidence in this case that the district court had available to it, it suggests that he was an organizer leader, given his other role. And additionally, the other point that we noted in our answer brief is that he engaged in extensive money laundering on behalf of the conspiracy. He made 159 wire transfers of drug proceeds out of the country, and he also wired over $149,000 directly to others during an approximate four-year period of time.
And what is the import of that? What does that mean to you? Because that's an action. I mean, I could have a drug mule go down and, you know, hit Western Union and make money transfers. That doesn't tell you anything about whether somebody's is exercising any organizing ability. So what's the import of that?
Well, he was wiring actual funds themselves, so he did have control over $149,000. As to the other 159 wire transfers, I don't know if he had actual control over those funds or not, but it does show that he did have significant authority. We noted in our answer brief that the district court was not required to make a particularly onerous finding in order to determined that Mr. Rubio Sepulveda should receive the organizer leader enhancement. This is the Craig decision from this court.
But we are required to police the boundary, aren't we? I mean, the reality is this is not a question of drug mule or organizer leader. I mean, there's an intermediary spot here, and that intermediary spot has to have some significance, manager, supervisor. So the point is, I mean, what is it about him that makes him not a manager, supervisor, and an organizer leader? Why is this activity not the activity of a manager, supervisor? As the government apparently, if I'm incorrect on this, please tell me, as the government initially thought itself, why is he not a manager, supervisor?
It is a matter of degree, as the court noted.
And the government, am I correct that the government initially took the position he was a manager supervisor? Hello?
The government may have indicated to the court that he was not an organizer supervisor, but
organizer leader.
I'm sorry, but that doesn't suggest that the district court clearly erred in finding that the enhancement for organizer leader applied.
They can be more than one leader, can't there?
Exactly, and we noted that in our answer brief as well. And so, notwithstanding that Mr. Rubio Sepulveda was not the top guy in the conspiracy, it doesn't suggest that he didn't have significant control over others. The gravamen of an enhancement, as the court knows, is organization, control, and responsibility for the actions of others. And here, the record does support the district court's finding that he had organizational responsibilities, that he had control over others, and then he also was responsible for the actions of others. And so we submit that there was no clear error by the district court in finding this enhancement.
Was there any sense that he actually, I mean, and by sense, I mean evidence in the record, that he actually could discipline or correct the activities of those who he was dispatching? In other words, it's one thing to say as a dispatcher, like a taxi driver dispatcher, old concept, but in that situation, go to X place. But if that taxi driver doesn't go to X place, the dispatcher has no authority to do anything to that taxi driver. So was there any evidence in the record to suggest that he could do something about that? In other words, govern their activities, control them?
There's nothing in the record that the government's aware of to suggest that he had that type of role in the conspiracy, that he could discipline others. There is nothing in the record on that. The court had asked a question earlier this morning regarding whether the probation office itself had identified any additional information to support an organizer leader enhancement. And paragraph 116 of the PSR does contain information suggesting that there is additional information available. The PSR at paragraph 116 states, quote, one of the sources interviewed by agents noted that the defendant was in control of the money, phones, drugs, and operations, unquote.
Were there objections made to the pre-sentence report?
Yes. Yes, he did. He did object to the pre-sentence report.
And were there hearings requested?
Yes, and at the sentencing hearing, Mr. Rubio Sepulveda had a full and fair opportunity to argue to the district court that an enhancement as an organizer or leader was not appropriate.
Did they try to put on any evidence?
There's nothing in the transcript to suggest that additional evidence was put before the court on this issue. There was no testimony from a witness, for example. If the court has no other questions, we would ask that the decision below be affirmed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In 50 seconds, I would like to direct the court to three cases. First of all, in United States versus Anderson, 189 F3rd at 1212, this court noted that the role of as a supplier of drugs to others is not enough to justify that enhancement. Also, in United States versus Owens, 70 F3rd.
I'm sorry?
United States versus Owens, 70 F3rd, 1118, 10th Circuit, 1995. The court indicated supplying drugs or fronting them without more is not a basis for enhancement. And most importantly, the Torres case, United States versus Torres, 53 F3rd, 1129. That court found that there was no evidence that the co-conspirators worked for the defendant. He restricted the people to whom they could sell, that he set the prices, that he recruited accomplices, and that he claimed a right to a larger share of the fruits. The court indicated that this defendant might have very well been integral and a very important figure in this conspiracy, but that's not enough to give the four-level enhancement for leader or organizer. And I see that my time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Your Honors. Case is submitted.